Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would put that still, quiet voice in our heart this morning, that we will recognize you just speaking to us and compelling us and revealing yourself to us. And may we know your presence here by your Spirit. May you be worshiped. May you be honored. Father, we worship in song and in praise from our hearts and not from our lips alone. We come to hear your word, Father, because we want to hear what you have to say. We want to walk away saying, well, you know what, that applied to me. Or there was something that God spoke to me about. And I pray, Father, please, that you would work that today. I pray that you would preach your word and that you would glorify your Son and that you'd magnify your name. And may we know that even in a more specific way, that you are our God, that you are almighty, and that you are in our hearts and in our presence today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read this little short introduction to you. Ever had to get dressed for work in the dark? Anybody? Okay. You tried not to turn on a light so you wouldn't wake your spouse or family. You rush out the door and arrive at work, and you walk in and someone points out a spot on your shirt. You go to look at yourself in the mirror in the restroom and discover that your clothes are wrinkled too. How embarrassing is that, right? Maybe you even find out you have mismatched colored socks on. It's amazing what a little light will do. You can see so much more when the lights are on. The light in our bedroom provides a mercy to us. It protects us from going out with clothes that are dirty. God gives light provided through Jesus, sheds mercy in our spiritual lives. God's light provided through Jesus sheds mercy in our spiritual lives, much in the same way. We as Christians should shed that light of mercy on others as we go out in the world. And so learn to walk in the light, essentially. One of the best ways to do that is the first thing in the morning when you get up, make that your time to crack open your Bible and to read it. Spend some quality time with God. You'd say, Lord, I'm going to be in your word today, and I want to know your presence with me, and I want to have that unique time of focus with you set apart for him. Practice that. It'll set the course for your day in a way that will help you to be more sensitive to your spiritual walk with Christ through that day, your relationship with Christ. Now, when I was talking about getting dressed for work at night, in the dark, I got to tell you, some of you may have heard this story, but because it's school and we're school theme related, the message is not, you know, all on school or anything like that. But as in this introduction, I wanted to share with you that one year, I think it was my senior year, I was in an advanced English class, and we had been studying the Canterbury Tales. I don't know if you are familiar with the Canterbury Tales, but the time period in which each of the characters of the Canterbury Tales was that, you know, they dressed differently than we did today. You know, kind of like the Three Musketeers almost, you know, the tights and the flowy shirts and the swords and all that stuff. And each one of us was assigned a particular Canterbury Tale character. And so for our final, we had to dress as one of the Canterbury Tale characters. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm 6'1", and I have to wear tights. One, I'm not going to store to buy any. So this is a girl in this class, and she's about 6 foot tall, and I said, gee, how many tights I can borrow? So she loaned me some tights. But I went home, and I was so embarrassed that, you know, for me, it was an hour and a half ride into school. And I was so embarrassed that I got dressed in the morning. I had made my sword, and I had this flowing, you know, pirate-type shirt, if you want. You know, not quite pirate. And I slipped on these tights in the dark, put them on, and put my jeans up over them, dressed normally over everything, went to school. It's time for me to give my presentation. There's this little dressing room in our English classroom. So I go in there, and I slip my jeans off, and I put on my my special shirt and my sword, and I'm scared to death. I hated standing in front of people. It's just not part of my character. And I was shaking like a leaf, and I walk out there, and I stand in front of the class, and everybody busts up because the stupid tights were put on backwards with the seams going up the front of the legs. Those are embarrassing memories, but the point is that if we are not, I wasn't prepared in the light. I refused to get dressed in the light that morning. And so if we yield ourselves to the light, and we focus on the light, and we learn to cling to the light, if you will, cling to that which is good, cling to that which is pleasing to God, then we're making the effort to walk in the light. And I want to talk this morning about the benefit of God's mercy in our life that enables us to walk in light. Okay? We have a choice every day to operate, to start the day off walking in the light, and to continue to walk in the light of Christ as we are sensitive to Him and His Spirit and His leadership, as we're sensitive to our conduct, our thoughts, how we present ourselves, and how we handle the challenges of the day. First of all, I want to look at the benefit of mercy, and I just want to look at a couple of verses. There are some great benefits to mercy. In Proverbs 3:3-4, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." What's the benefit of mercy and truth? Mercy is the unmerited favor of God toward us. So if God has shown you, I know He has in my life, mercy, I know what I think I deserve is not good. And I'm not talking about eternally. I'm talking about just even going to the Lord and say, "Lord, forgive me for this attitude or this focus or this behavior or whatever." And sometimes I'm not expecting God to really, I'm expecting God to go, "You know what, I'm still irritated with you, and I'm not going to let you off the hook emotionally or spiritually that easily. I'm going to let you kind of grovel in the grind of this conviction." And so many times I've gone to the Lord with that heart, and of course it needs to be that sincere heart of confession. And we go to God and we say, "God, I'm really sorry." God knows how sorry we are. And you're expecting one thing, and then the Spirit of God very clearly just lifts the burden from your heart. You know, it's like there was a freedom, even a freedom to forgive myself for those times when I've gone to the Lord and I've asked for forgiveness, and it's just there. And I know I can go on through the day, and you know you can too. We experience God's mercy in that spiritual walk with Jesus. And are going to Him on our knees and praying to Him. We experience mercy in other ways too, how God intervenes in our life. But when we practice mercy, when we apply the practice of mercy in our lives towards one another, that's what God is telling us to do here. Let not mercy or truth, the truth of God's ways, forsake you. Apply the practice of mercy. Apply the truth of God's word to your heart. Bind them around your neck. Kind of a strange thing, but I guess in one way it's close to your heart. It's close to your mind. It's right here, so to speak. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Hold on to them. We were talking about memorizing scripture this morning and getting little post-its or 3x5 cards. Steve said he's got 100 verses that we should memorize. And, I used to always put post-its on my bathroom mirror, or I put scripture on my closet door, because when I sit on my side of the bed, I face the closet door, and the scripture's right there, and that's my memory reference, and I try to memorize the scripture. And start embedding, that's how we write the word on our heart, that when we take the time to meditate on and to memorize God's word and to use it in our life, that's writing it on our heart. So write them on the tablet of your heart. And what's the benefit of mercy and truth applied to our lives? And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You know, when it says and man, it kind of surprises me, because most, you know, you think mankind outside of the Lord, they're not going to appreciate anything godly. But there is value in truth and in love and in mercy and in the practices of grace as a Christian. And we're finding that God is favoring us with a high esteem, and that also that people will respect us. Which leads me to Proverbs 21:21. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. I love that. He who follows righteousness, he who makes the decision, okay, I'm going to crack my Bible up and I'm going to crack my Bible open, and I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to take it in the heart. I'm going to have communion, so to speak, with God. I'm going to commune with God in my quiet time with God. And I'm going to learn his ways as he directs me, and I'm going to apply it to my life as he gives me the power to do so over my own weaknesses, over my own flesh. I'm going to rely on his spirit, his power in my life to apply his principles to my life, and I'm going to follow him. So he who follows righteousness and mercy, that unmerited favor, you know, when we show grace seasoned with love, when we show mercy seasoned with love, when our conduct, our speech is seasoned with grace, if you will. In other words, how we present ourselves in a way that is glorifying to God and dealing with situations. God will bless that. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, a fullness in life, righteousness, a way of life, and honor from God and from men, because we've applied these principles. And so there is a great benefit to mercy, practicing mercy. And in all honesty with you, what I was trying to explain to you is that as I reflect on God's realized mercy in my own personal walk with him, his mercy never runs out, like his forgiveness never runs out. And his love never runs out. And his faithfulness never runs out. But as I see God's mercy in my life on a regular basis, because I'm always missing the mark, frequently identifying that in my own walk, frequently I find, you know, it's so interesting how the pride of my own flesh creeps up into my mind. You know how you're brushing your teeth and you're thinking or whatever, and something pops in your head, and if you're not paying attention, it kind of just goes away. But if you acknowledge, what was I just thinking? That's a wrong way to think, you know? And yet God continues to show his mercy and his grace. But God has called us to focus on applying mercy to our lives. I mean, ask yourself the question, do you practice the loving act of being merciful to others? Again, that's showing a response or a behavior to others that you know they don't deserve, because you want to reflect the character of Christ in your life. Because God has shown mercy to us, not just in our salvation, but in our daily walk with him. So how to focus on applying mercy to our lives in Colossians 3, 1 through 17. If, this is conditional here, if then you were raised with Christ. When were we raised with Christ? You know, it's always been kind of a phrase in Scripture that kind of hits me between the eyes. It's like, you know, I understand to a degree what's being said here, but I don't understand the reality of what it means to be raised with Christ. But when we receive Christ as our Savior, you've heard it over the last few weeks about justification. Our sins are completely forgiven for when we receive Jesus as our Savior, and they are removed, and we're completely clean through God's eyes. And we are no longer subject to the authority and the power of sin in our life at all. There's no room for us to make excuses and saying, I can't, when we can in Christ if we decide to rely on Him. Because God has raised us from the effects of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus has given us life in Him. We're new creatures in Him. We are created in Him spiritually as new people. Put off the old man, put on the new man. What God is telling us is that in Christ we've been raised above the effects of sin in our life if we choose to rely on the power of God to give us victory over those challenges that we face. But the fact is that in our relationship with Christ, we are no longer under the authority of the power of sin. We're free from that because of Jesus. And in that sense, we are raised with Christ. And we are raised into a new life that depends on the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, of course, that enables us by His grace, grace upon grace, day by day, walking by faith, to walk in His power and strength and not our own. And so we find ourselves as Christians positionally that we are no longer under the authority of sin, and God gives us the grace that we need to have victory over any challenge that faces us because we are in Christ. We're relying on the resurrection power of Jesus in our life. So if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. That word seek is an action. Make a decision to seek what's above. Well, what do you mean? Just go around thinking about heaven all the time? No. Think about things that are heavenly. Think about things that are of God. And by the way, it's not wrong to think about heaven, right? But I'm just saying you don't want your heads in the cloud and not thinking. You know, do you want to make sure that you're thinking about the things that are biblical, the things that are godly, the things that reflect the character of Christ. And of course, Christ is in heaven. So we make that conscious decision to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind. Another choice. We need to set our minds to say, I'm going to open my Bible in the morning and read my Bible. I could ask all of you, but I'm not going to raise your hand if you read your Bible every day. You know if you do or if you don't, but I challenge you to do so if you don't. And that challenge comes back my way, too, because sometimes our days get crazy. And sometimes I have this little slip clause. Okay, I have my normal standard reading that I have. And then on days that I know that it's not going to work, I go, okay, I'm going to read this right here. I read a psalm and a proverb every day, at least to get focused. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Don't let the principles, the priorities, the ways of this world govern our direction. But set our things on the things of God. What God wants for us. What God's will is in our life. How God would respond based upon how we learn the truth from His Word and learn through our relationship with Jesus. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Again, there we go again. There's that phrase, for you died. Well, I'm still living. You know, I'm here. How and what way have I died? If we choose to decide to die to ourselves, for we've already died to the power of sin through Christ. Now we choose to die to ourselves, not putting ourselves first, but putting God first as Lord. He's our Savior when we receive Him, but He has to be our Lord cognitively, daily, as we follow Him. That's not just labeled, okay, He's our Lord. The Lord implies, no, it doesn't imply, it tells us. If He's Lord of our life, it's because we're following Him as our Lord, as our authority, not our own desires. And so, you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We'll find what God has for us in life as we follow Him. You've heard that a lot of times from this pulpit. When I was at the state mental hospital Wednesday, and I was preaching, I told the guys, I said, I know that you don't like being in here. And I try to encourage them, try to give them hope and say, but you are Christian men that have repented and have given your hearts back to God. At least that's what they're professing to me. God has a plan and purpose for you here, and you can trust him in that as you follow him. When Christ, who is our life, appears, wow, did you catch that? When Christ, who is what? Our life. Is God your life? Oh, he's my eternal life. No, is he your life? Is he the fullness of what life is about to you? Is he the center of your focus? Is he what you build your life on and around? Is he your life? The scripture tells us that's how we should live. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death, another conscious decision, put to death your members. What are our members? How we think. Brushing my teeth, what am I thinking about? Okay, put that out of your head, Terry. You know, don't let pride in your head or self-seeking attitude. You know, the phrase that keeps going through my head in my life right now, it's not about you. It's not about you. And so many times I find that as much as I hate thinking that I have fallen into the trap of thinking about me, that I am, and I'm ashamed of that. It's not about me. It's about Christ. And so we learn to put to death our members, how we think, or whatever our body does, or whatever our tongue does that is not pleasing to God. We learn to put those things to death that are of the flesh and not of God, and then learn to yield to God. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, here's some identification marks. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Putting these things, anything we put above God as a priority is an act of idolatry, and it's an offense to God. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. When we didn't know Christ, we knew no other way to live but for ourselves. We didn't know how to live for Christ or by his power or by his authority or freedom from the power of sin. We didn't know all those things. But in Christ we know. But now we know, we have to decide cognitively to do it. When we do that, we begin to see the power of God working in our lives. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Are you and I putting on Christ? And our English vernacular, to put on is to in a sense play a trick or to lie to. But in this text, what we're saying is that we're learning to apply the truth of God's word, the character of Christ, which is walking in the Spirit as opposed to walking in our own flesh, seeking our own way. And don't we all fall in many of these areas, if not all of them, in one way or another? If we think it, we do it, right? But we don't like admitting that because it hurts. But the reality is, when we're humble before God and we acknowledge it, because we, you know, he already knows, but when we acknowledge it, then that's the place that we can start to say, okay, I see this in my life, I don't like this in my life, I'm embarrassed by this in my life, and I will yield to you, Lord, and as I yield to you, you will show me that victory to where that's not a part of my life no more, and the character of you will be seen in and through my life. So verse 10 again, and have put on the new man who is renewed. Have you put on the new man? That's Jesus, who is renewed, made new. Not the old man, but the new man. In knowledge, we have a new way of thinking. The word of God, according to the image of him who created him. That's Jesus. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Now, I entitled that section, How to Focus on Applying Mercy to Our Lives. If we're willing to be humble before God and acknowledge where we missed the mark in Christ, humble before God and say, God, I know this is my weakness. I know this is this is hard for me to look at, but it's still there and you know it. And we open ourselves humbly before God and say, God, change that in my life. And we make a cognitive decision to seek God's way, not our own. Then that's the place in which God will begin to work in our lives that will transform us more into the character of Christ. What I mean by the character of Christ? That people will see Jesus in you by our behavior, by our thinking, by our priorities, by our conduct, by our love for one another, by our showing mercy to one another. All these virtues that represent Christ. And so Paul wrote to the Colossians here, says, look, this is the way we are in the old man. This is who we should be in the new man. We need to acknowledge that. When we do, we discover God's mercy and grace in our life, enabling us to be who God wants us to be in Him. Because when we discover God's mercy, we're in that place of honesty before God. We may expect something different from God, like I was saying before. I expect you to stay mad at me, and he didn't. We begin to learn God's love and grace and mercy that he gives to us as our Heavenly Father. And we value that. And then God says, now I want you to start showing that love and that grace and that mercy to others, representing me. But the only way we can do that is to die to those old habits of the old man and put on the new man, which is Christ in us. Learn the word. Don't let that intimidate anyone. Learn the word. The Holy Spirit lives in you as he lives in anybody. Learn the word. Read the word. Pray over the word. Ask God to show you what he wants you to see in the word. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in your life and walk in step with the Spirit of God. Be in fellowship with God on a daily basis. That's easy said, not necessarily easy done. But when we do that, we learn what it means to have mercy and to apply it to the Lord. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. See the virtues of Christ. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. If we refuse to forgive each other, then we are in direct violation against God, because God forgave us. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Because God loves me so much and I see my place. You know, it's really a blessing when we see where we fail God. Because it shows where God's mercy and grace and love is applied to us. And it humbles us. But when we share that type of love with others, it glorifies God. But of all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Hey, if we're walking with the Lord, we're in step with him, we use the Christian bar of soap, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. At the moment we sin and we know it, confess and acknowledge it and keep on going. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. That means abide in you. That means to live in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. One of the things I believe that the scripture is saying here is that when we're in step with God, we will find ourselves having a song in our heart, find ourselves encouraging others, wanting to. I think that's important. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That is the antidote to living for ourselves. The antidote to living for ourselves is to remember verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we do, make sure do our best to be in step with what God would have us to do. Keep the Lord in front of you, focused on him. And thirdly, God's mercy teaches us to live new lives in him. Galatians 2:20, I love this passage. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Can we identify with that in our walk with Jesus? I see Christ living in me. Do you see Christ living in you and through you? I see myself dying to myself in Christ and no longer living for who I am, but for Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the opposite would have been before following Christ, he did not live by faith, but he lived by his flesh. He did not live by the power of the Son of God who loves him, but he lived for himself. So what you and I are called to do is live by faith in the Son of God, knowing his love for us. For the greatest example is that he gave himself for us. And so what are we to do in turn? Give ourselves for him. Be his people. Romans 6, 4 and 5 says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Do we understand the significance of what God's saying here in his word? The miraculous event of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We're called to live in that same power in Christ every day. Not our power, not our strength, not our control, but God's power, strength, and control in our life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, that's a condition, that's a choice, that's a decision, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, receiving him, learning to live in him, dying to ourselves, then the product will be that people will see us living in the power of the resurrection of Christ every day. Does that sound strange? No, they're going to see Jesus in you. They're going to see you handling situations in a way that are contrary to the way of the world, but that is evident of the life of Christ in you. That's cool. That's totally awesome. Learn to put on mercy for Christ. Learn to put on mercy, for Christ has been merciful to us. Therefore, live in him. That's the choice. As we take of the Lord's Supper this morning, evaluate your heart. Seek what God wants you to acknowledge before him. Be humble before the Lord. The Lord's not going to reject us. The Lord loves us. He's there for us. He already knows us better than we know ourselves. But we need to come to terms with ourselves and who we are. And be honest before the Lord. And give those things to God. And ask God for grace and mercy and love. And you know what? He won't hold back those things from us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I want to thank you, Father, for the power of your word and the power of your spirit. I do pray, Father, please, that you help each one of us to learn to live in the power of your resurrection, to live in the life of Christ who lives inside our hearts, to live no longer according to the pattern of this world, but to live according to your pattern, to your ways. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man by the power of Christ who lives in us. That people will see you in us and that you would be glorified. Help us to have a clear evidence of this in our life, that we will show it by truly loving each other. Truly being merciful and kind and forgiving toward one another. And I pray, Father, please, that in this that you will be well pleased. And that you will be magnified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page. by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.